Mrs. Lambert, Reel 7. Looking back over the time that you became an officer, did you become part of a ladies or lady officers' mess or a male officers' mess, or was it a mixed situation?
Because the first place I went to when I was commissioned was Skegness. As I told you, we lived in the hotel. I did a dance with Skegness, yes, we must have done. And I can't remember a mess there. Yes, there was. It was all very friendly and almost holiday fashion in Skegness. There wasn't the formality that you get in the regular Air Force for their established messes, because it was more... I know we were doing a job, but it wasn't formal. We were officers, I know that, and we did have a mess, and every Saturday night, of course, we used to have a dance. And there was a bar in the hotel, they still had their bar. And I'm sure we paid for our drinks as we went, because not being a well-established unit as such, just a wartime unit, I'm sure we had to pay for our drinks as we went. We had our meals in the dining room, and we were waited on by the dining staff. They were airmen as well. Airmen were cooks. It was all airmen. There were no civilians there at all. I know later on civilians did start coming in, but when I was there, it was all Air Force. As I say, we used to have a dance every Saturday night in the. We didn't really have anything to do with the servicemen, only in the way that the servicemen were there for in the dining room and the chefs. They were there in the order room, of course, and they were there for the telephone and signals and the secretaries. But apart from that, my life as an officer was a life as an officer. Didn't really have an awful lot to do with the other ranks, apart from the work time, of course, when work was finished.
Do you recall who ran the particular mess that you may have been in? Who was in charge of it?
Well, the group captain was in charge of the whole station, and then his admin officer was to delegate whoever. If somebody went off sick, then they used to call in somebody else from another station, or even somebody from the ranks there. We were very definitely... I can't think of a word. We're definitely riding on a high because there are other people doing the jobs. It sounds an awful thing to say, but I mean, this is what happens when in the ranks and the officers. We weren't separate at all, in that there were, as I say, the audio room and the telephone, etc. I mean, they were all people. They weren't ranks, don't take any notice, definitely not. But we did have our station and our status. It's rather nice, actually. Enjoyed that. That was all right in Skegness. And then of course I went overseas, and I can't remember much about the mess in Algiers. There must have been one, but I really don't remember much about it because I was only there 2 months. Then we went over to Caserta. Now there we did have a mess. That was it was a farm, and the stables was taken over by the. The whole thing was taken over by the RAF, and we did have a mess. It was the stables which they converted into the officers' mess, and our quarters for the females was upstairs. There were six of us, and that was a mess. There was a bar, and as far as the drinks were concerned, I'm sure we paid for them as we went, because if anybody was posted or missing or something, then what happened to the bill? So I'm sure we paid for them there. We had our meals in the mess. There was a cook, there was a kitchen, and the chef and whoever were in the kitchen, and they had their quarters behind the officers' mess. The men had their quarters across the yard in the living quarters. It would have been the living quarters of the farm, but the girls were upstairs. We used to have a dance every Saturday night, of course. That was a must.
Were there any special historical events commemorated, in the sense that you, in army message you may get something for Sebastopol night or...
No,
nothing like that.
It wasn't an established mess, it was just a wartime mess. We used to celebrate Christmas, of course, and that was great because all the commanding officers and everybody used to come along. It's the only time we ever saw them was at Christmas, and the whole place was set out with a long table at the top for all the senior officers, and then little tables coming down like that. And I used to enjoy that because it flattered me in a way, because the female staff, well, there were only six of us, were in great demand. And I remember one particular Christmas, because I sat at the top of this table, which was coming off from the main table, and the young men, the young officers, can you sit at your table, you know? So I had all my friends around there, and here was I sitting at the top, queening it, and it was just lovely, I loved it. But what else did we have?
Whilst we're on Christmas, did you get involved in serving the other ranks on the traditional dinner?
No, we didn't, not the girls. Maybe the men did. I couldn't tell you. I don't even know where the men were stationed or billeted. I really don't. It wasn't that I didn't want to know anything like that, but they were just somewhere else in the village, in the caseta. Tell you one thing we had to do every day. Letters from the ranks used to come up to the officers' mess, and they were put on the table, and whoever was off duty or was passing by really had nothing to do. We had to pick up the letters and read them for censorship, and we had to read them.
How did you feel about that? Do you think it was a bit breaking into someone's...
No, I didn't know. I used to feel as if it was reading a magazine. You read it looking for what you wanted to look, and then it was forgotten. The only thing I did remember, was this young airman, and he'd obviously been in Algiers. I suppose most of us did before we came over to Italy. And he'd written to his girlfriend in Algiers, and attached to the letter was another sheet of paper, was a poem. And it was really a very naughty poem. It really was. Not a dirty, a naughty poem. And the thing was, I'm sure this isn't supposed to go to her, but it's none of my business, it's in there, I've got to send it off. And so of course I often wondered what the reception was like, because you can't tell. That was embarrassing.
After you'd censored, did you have to sign it or initial it or stamp it in any way?
No, just stick it down. No. Yeah. Oh yes, I think we had a stamp. There was a stamp on the table as well, yes. Because most of them of course went home. But it was just a precaution. And we only had a few, so who did the other lot? I don't know, because there's thousands of them around. And of course, another thing we had was newspapers. We had the Union Jack for the British, and the Stars and Stripes for the Americans. But you want to talk about the...
Yes, we'll talk about the Nationals later. Yes, we're basically dealing with messing at the moment, and you seem to have covered most of the points.
Well, that was when we came to... came back from Algiers, but then after that I was posted to Tunis. Now that was an interesting one. I don't know if you want me to talk about...
We can deal with the messes and get them out of the way.
Okay.
Yes, get them out of the way.
Well, we had a villa in Tunis, so a bit of way beyond. We were quite a way from Tunis, but you know, as I say, we had transport, we could go any time we like. But the officers' mess there was quite a way beyond our villa. It was you could walk it, but we had to go through an Arab graveyard. And that was quite something. There was always men keening their way, moaning, everything, you know. They were hired mourners. But they got used to us going back and forth, so we didn't bother after a while. But the mess was quite some distance away. In fact, it was on the seashore, on a cliff above the seashore. And that was our mess. We had to go there for meals when we weren't on duty. And that was almost a regular mess, because it was run by the regular senior officers. And they wanted to keep their traditions. And so that was much more in the keeping with the RAF mess as it is in peacetime. So that was quite an experience. We had our meals there, we had our off-duty time.
Do you recall the kind of traditional way that they ran their mess in the RAF?
Well, as you see there were traditions. You sat in a certain place. Although the place wasn't very big, I think it was somebody's private house, to tell you the truth. You know, wherever we went, the force, the army, the navy, whoever it was, used to take over houses, took over the palace, took over these places, and you never knew. I mean, the villa we lived in, in Tunis. It was somebody's private house, and it was lovely, it really was. It was out of town, and there we had oh, that was Tunis. Now I'm talking of New Women, I'm getting mixed up here. Tunis, where was our mess in Tunis? Well, we didn't have a mess, because we had our meals at home, in our house. I think the one I'm thinking of is when I was in Algiers, that was the villa. Went through the Arab graveyard, that's right. And then we went to the mess on the seashore. And it was senior officers there as well. But when we got to Caserta, senior officers weren't there, they had their mess in the palace. So it was just sort of girls and boys together. There were senior officers there, you know, well up to wing commander probably. But above that, the group captain, etc., they had their mess in there. But I'll tell you about the palace later on. And then when we got to Malta, I don't remember a mess there at all. We were billeted in the YWCA. We slept there, we ate there. No, we didn't. We ate in a mess. So we did. But I think the only thing I can remember about that is it seemed to be a huge fortress place. We had to have I still got my pass card somewhere to get in. And there we used to have our meals in there. But I can't remember an actual mess life in Malta.
Can we come now then to Caserta? We've just got you moved over from Algiers to Caserta.
Yes.
What was the situation there? You were still doing this ciphering and coding.
Doing cipher, yeah. Yes.
I know that you couldn't remember any specific message, as you described earlier, but where do you recall where these messages, codes were coming from to you?
Well, all the theatres of war, back to London, even some to America, some across the Channel to North Africa. Wherever the war zone was, they were all coming in. And it was so many of them that we just didn't sort of have time to sit down and read it. Oh my goodness, look at this happening here. I don't honestly remember, the only one I do remember is after the war was over when I sent one over for the group captain, wanted his drinks from Algiers, and I sent in the wrong code and it had to come back. I only remember that one. But we were so busy. Even when we were doing, when I was in Malta, when we were code and ciphering, we were covering the peace talks. Don't remember any of those either. It was so busy.
But it was basically information of what was going on in the rest of the war zone, war zones,
yes,
that were coming encoded, and then you were, as you say, you were deciphering them or decoding them,
yes,
and then passing them on to who?
Well, passing them on to the necessary departments. Right. I didn't actually have anything to do with that. There was I know there was a sergeant doing the passing on bit. He was the kind of secretary. When I say secretary, he was the one that was doing all the toing and froing. We were just doing the ciphering, coding and ciphering. And we just put them in a tray and then he did the rest. And I can't even remember where they went. There would be an address, there'd be a name, but I don't even remember that. We were so busy, we just didn't have time to sit down and sort of put things together. I wouldn't just buy.
I know you mentioned that one time you only had your book to do your,
yes,
your work with. Mm. When you had the machines, you described them as very similar to the Enigma-type machine.
Yes.
But not an Enigma machine.
No. Because the Enigma machine was very similar to ours in that it had the wheels and the typewriter thing. But they had all these plugs, like telephone plugs, all around the side like that, and all around the front. But we didn't have that.
Now they were picking up messages from the enemy, of course, weren't they? The Enigma machine was.
They were sending out messages about their deployment, what they were doing with their troops, what they were going to do next, and all this kind of thing. And we couldn't. We only knew about it afterwards.
No, you weren't involved in that.
Not one bit. No, because that was in Bletchley, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. I just wanted to get to clear that the machine that you were still using now in Algiers, Sicily, wherever, Italy, wherever, it was just the same machine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened next when you got to Italy? You've arrived there and you're essentially on the same work. Which headquarters were you based on now?
I was still with Mediterranean Allied Coastal Air Force. The others were with Mediterranean Allied Air Force. And they weren't code and cipher, they were more administration. Not just administration, they were doing all the necessary, but we were the only code and cipher officers there. for Coastal Air Force. So we must have had theirs, but we never met them, I don't know why. We obviously used to see them because we went... I can't remember ever having a meal or where I went for a meal, apart from having them in our mess, in the... Have I mentioned Tunis?
We just mentioned in the messing situation. If we can deal with Italy, then we'll move on to Tunis.
I started off with Mediterranean Allied Air Force when I went over to Italy, and we arrived on the day after Vesuvius erupted, and that was really quite something, I can tell you. Black lava grain blowing around all over the place, we were sort of walking on it, crunching, you know, it was horrible. But never mind, that didn't faze us. So we went out to our railway station first, in another villa, stationed in this villa. And there were a whole lot of girls there, and it seems awful, but I think we were so busy, or so, not busy so much, but taken up with the fact that we were doing this job, and we're in Italy, and having a lovely time, and there was only sort of one girl to 1,000 men, and all the social bit as well. But I mean, the social bit didn't interrupt what we were doing. And we were in the villa, and it seemed the Italian villas didn't have baths in those days, so they fixed up some showers for us in the outhouse. And this horrendous machine, we used to heat the water. There had to be a soldier there all the time when we were having showers outside, because it was like a Heath Robinson thing, it really was. It was a mixture of, it was a mixture of either petrol, apparently petrol, I suppose, and water. And it used to make this horrendous noise, so like an ogre's cavern or something while it was going. But the hot water was there, the showers were there, and that was what was important. So we had our showers there. But we didn't have our meals there, and I can't remember where we had our meals. It just didn't come into the situation at all. We obviously did. But Caserta was a nice little village. Just wasn't a town even, it was nice. Well, when I say it was between a town and a village. Very old, very lovely. I don't know if you want me to tell you a bit about the castle, because I've written it down here.
What was the castle there? What were you?
Caserta.
Were you in the castle?
In the castle. We were working in the castle itself, and we were next door to the throne room. The Americans had the throne room, didn't they, boys? But I do know that sometimes we had to take messages, whatever, to the Americans who were just down the corridor, and they had the surveillance camera. Anybody that came in, click, click. You could hear it clicking as you went in. So we did have, we had quite a lot to do with the Americans, and in a way, not business-like, social.
What were they like? How did you find them?
I found them, it sounds an awful thing to say, but they seemed to be, how can I put it without being rude? They were doing a job. And it seemed as if they'd been trained for this job, and that's what they were doing. They didn't seem to have any banter on the side. They were very businesslike when they were on duty, very businesslike, but not seriously businesslike. It sounds an awful thing to say, but it seemed like they were automatons somehow. And even when off duty, they seemed to be very simple. I don't want to be rude about it, but only because they're a different nation from us, and we found them different. And because our lads were joking and on the ball, but they were from America, living a life in a strange land, which we were as well. I think we took it more in our stride than they did. They're very nice, but very much on the girly side.
In the sense that they chased the ladies more, they
well, they
thought the ladies more.
Well, they expected the ladies to chase them, I think. But they were there to be chased. I did have an American boyfriend. He was very nice. Actually, I met him out in Tunis. Then, of course, when we all came over, we were still... But he was very nice. We had a good time together.
You're in the castle, working, as you say, in the castle.
Yes, can I just tell you something quickly about the castle? There's a little bit here, but it's rather nice. So the Palace of Caserta was built in 1751 for King Charles III of Italy. The architect found there was no water to speak of for his grandiose plans for waterfalls, etc. So he built an aqueduct coming from the north over 30 miles away, and it's still there today. The palace is a huge, magnificent building with four courtyards. The main entrance has an imposing staircase leading up to the first floor, each side of which are a couple of stone lions. On the landing above, the staterooms are situated, which of course during the war the chiefs of staff had their rooms. These staterooms are still beautifully decorated, the walls covered in silk and the ceilings all painted in the approved style of the era. This of course was the Allied forces' headquarters, AFHQ in common parlance, the headquarters of all the armies fighting in Italy.
And did you look after it? It wasn't damaged by the forces that were using it, the people?
No, but it was most strange. My working partner and I, well, my friend, my girlfriend, we tried to get round the palace, because it was square, and it had these four courtyards, and so we tried to go all the way around and come back to our office. We got completely lost. But in our style as well, as well as ours, and the Americans, these huge rooms were partitioned off with cardboard stuff, you know. They were all partitioned off, not right up to the ceiling, so that they could have their separate offices wherever they were, and their telephones. It was a very good setup, really was. It always used to make me wonder how on earth these places were set up to accommodate the necessary. Because it seemed as if they knew where they were going, and even before the Germans went out and said, right, we're going to be here, let's go in and get it sorted. And it was sorted. There was telephones, the toilets. Really, I don't know what the Italians are like. I thought this only ever happened in India or somewhere like that, but the toilets were a hole in the ground. And for us, very difficult, because I haven't really examined Italians, but I know the Indians and people can bob down because they haven't got a calf on their leg. But we've got calves on our legs. And it was very difficult, especially when you went on duty wearing trousers. And believe me, that was impossible. But I always remember those toilets. And actually, when I was in Hong Kong, the armor had one as well. But I thought, oh dear, here we are again. What did you say?
You were talking about how the rooms were kept, you know.
Oh, yes, the rooms. Well, they were very office-like and very well set up. I mean, when we got there, our office, all the machines were there, all the drums were there, all the woodwork, everything was there. So we just walked in, we didn't have to look, I haven't got a machine, oh, it'll be coming on the next boat. Nothing like that, it was all there. And it used to amaze me, and it was the same when, and now I'm diverging, I can never remember the right word here. Sorry. even when we went on leave, went to Sorrento, Amalfi, we didn't stay in Capri, on the mainland, if we went on leave to these places, they'd taken over a hotel. The army had taken over a hotel. There were the beds, the sheets, the food, the everything. It didn't amaze me at the time, but looking back on it, I think, because when you're out there, you just accept it, that's where it was. But looking back on it, it was all there. You didn't have to ask for anything. And I can't even remember paying, whether we did or not. I don't suppose we did. But it was always there. It was extraordinary. So our office was there with everything in it. And the sergeant, what a lovely man he was. I didn't fancy him, but I always liked him. He was such a charismatic man. And I remember the last day we were there when we were posted home. Come here, I want to kiss you. So he gave me a big kiss, and that was it. You know. But we didn't fancy each other. It was just a lovely, friendly man he was. He always used to come in with the milk and the tea and the sugar, which he used to collect from his mess. Where they lived, I have no idea.
What was his role in the office situation?
Like the clerk. We did the coding and decoding, and he would hand out the messages and everything like that. And oh, there was an officer there as well. Of course there was, a male officer, to sort of be in charge and keep everything going. And I remember in Algiers, he was very to the forefront. It was a lovely place because we seemed to have our mission huts in a palm tree grove. And it was just nice there, and I can remember that one very well.
Is this Algiers, or
Algiers?
This is, you mean in Algiers?
I know, I'm going back, I'm sorry. so did things come up. And the machines were in quite a small room, but they were all around the room like that. And because we used to have the tea and things there as well. And I can remember when I was on night duty, whether I was rip-roaring around in the daytime, I don't know, but I always had to put my head down for a quarter of an hour. I used to drop off dead asleep, wake up and start again.
Do you remember the name of the sergeant that was looking
Wilkinson.
At you?
Wilkinson. John. I think his name was John. I'm almost sure it was. John Wilkinson. Sergeant Wilkinson. I don't remember the name of the officers because I don't remember him being there in Caserta, but he must have been because I had to be someone in charge.
How did you get on with the Italians? How did you find them?
How can I say? When I used to go into the village, it was like me. You see, I'd been on holiday and abroad before I joined the forces when I was at school. So for me, it was going in a foreign country. And I just accepted them as if I was in Switzerland or Germany or anywhere. And just they were just, it was their country. They were nice people. Of course, I mean, they loved the trade. So they were always nice to us, I suppose. I don't know, but they were. They were very nice. I can't honestly, I've got quite a good memory, and I can't honestly remember having any fracas with any of them into the shops anywhere. I think we must have had an Italian to come and do the housework for us. Must have been somebody there to do that for us, yes.
But they were friendly, there weren't no animosity
towards
them.
Oh, no. In fact, they were quite pleased. I didn't like the Germans very much. Of course, the Italians were at war, but... they were at war with us to begin with, weren't they?
Yeah, I think by that time they'd capitulated and were back on our side, in effect.
Yes, they were.
Did the war impinge on your life, other than the coding, of course, and that kind of thing? I mean, did the front line would be much farther up Italy than it...
Well, yes, it was, but it was up at, as far as I can remember, a place called Foggia. And, of course, there was Monte Cassino and that. But I do remember when we first went there, the palace was built so on the main ground there, but the waterfalls, it had to be really high for the waterfalls to be effective. And we used to climb up there. It was quite a climb, but we used to climb to the top. And we could see at night time, we could see the flashes of gunfire. So it can't have been all that far away. Although, you see, being in wartime, there were no lights, still no lights. And so it would sort of be more noticeable at night. I do remember doing that. But it was a lovely place, this Caserta, it really was.
Were you attacked at all by enemy aircraft, for example, trying to
not
get through?
Not in Italy. The only time I ever had diversifying again, the only time I had any connection with that was when I was up in Bishopbriggs when they bombed the Clyde. I think I told you about that. And no, there was nothing like that. Because, I mean, all the landings and everything had happened before we went there. Because wherever there was a bit of war on, we weren't allowed to be. In fact, we couldn't go over to Malta until it was back in British hands again.